I'm going to do the reading this morning, so if you'd like to turn with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1. In the church Bibles, it's at page 910. And this starts by Habakkuk talking with God, and then God responds to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1, verse 12. Lord, from the very beginning, you are God. You are my God, holy and eternal. Lord, my God and protector, you have chosen the Babylonians and made them strong so that they can punish us. But how can you stand these treacherous evil men? Your eyes are too holy to look at evil, and you cannot stand the sight of people doing wrong. So why are you silent while they destroy people who are more righteous than they are? How can you treat people like fish or like a swarm of insects that have no ruler to direct them? The Babylonians catch people with hooks as though they were fish. They drag them off in nets and shout for joy over their catch. They even worship their nets and offer sacrifices to them because their nets provide them with the best of everything. Are they going to use their swords forever and keep on destroying nations without mercy? I will climb my watchtower and wait to see what the Lord will tell me to say and what answer he will give to my complaint. The Lord gave me this answer: write down clearly on clay tablets what I reveal to you so that it can be read at a glance. Put it in writing, because it is not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly, and what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will certainly take place, and it will not be delayed. And this is the message: those who are evil will not survive, but those who are righteous will live, because they are faithful to God. That's the end of the reading.
I greet you with the love of Christ. It's a new year. Praise God. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, precious one, we want to thank you for this new year you've given us. Father, we pray that you help us to understand the theme of this year, space and place, that we'll be able to understand the times as the Spirit speaks to us. We pray that we'll live lives which will be glorifying your name and building the kingdom. In your name we give thanks and praise for the things you are yet to do in our lives this year. Amen. Amen. This passage is a little bit hard to understand. It's so hard to grasp. Sometimes if you have a chance to go through this, you feel like not really reading it. But we are seeing Habakkuk voicing his complaint to God. The enemy was there, and God had declared that there was going to be invasion from the east. Habakkuk, like his contemporaries, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and others, they prophesied the same. And when I was told to speak, down in my heart, God was speaking to me about his appointed time. His appointed time can happen anytime. Given that definition Jen gave us last Sunday, a place is a portion of space that is occupied. Like here is a space, and this is a place. It can be a dwelling, an environment, a territory. That's a place. And we are seeing God speaks now in a given space and in a given place, and takes years. It might occur in different places, but there is an appointed time. So as we are looking at what God is saying to us, we should remember that there is the appointed time of God. Can I request you please to put that theme over there? Is space and place. And today we are going to see some particular aspects about waiting for God's appointed time. I remember God gave me the grace to be a leader of the students right when I was in senior one. But through my secondary school, as a leader, I've been speaking to young people, those of my age and those who were a leader with me. I was telling them, encouraging them to continue doing what they were doing, building their fellow students, living lives worthy of God's calling. I'm not saying to be perfect. Sometimes when we say to be holy, we tend to mean that you shouldn't do that. You should be so holy. Your head should stand tall. You should stand tall. I'm not saying that. And being righteous, once again, it's not to mean that you are righteous. Even if they pour water on you, someone can drink that water. But being righteous is when the Spirit communicates something that change or do this and you do that. That's being right. So whenever the Spirit speaks, whenever someone says that, can you do this or do this, that's being right. Being right is doing what God wants us to do and recognizing Him. So I had the grace to be with the young men and women in my years in secondary. And God blessed them, because every stream in every class, there used to be five. At the end of the term, they used to call the best five students from each class. And time came when in every stream, five of them were from Scripture Union. And most of them were the leaders in the Scripture Union. Being that they were so, God had given them knowledge and understanding and wisdom. They were excelling, and others were doing sciences subjects. Time came when they started depending on their knowledge, understanding, and they decided to give little time to the ministry they were doing in the school, to concentrate more on studies. I'm not saying studies bad, but I told them that, yes, do the studies as we've been doing, and also don't give up fellowshipping and encouraging other fellow students as you've been doing. There is time for everything. Give the portion to the school and give the time to studies. But others were saying, no, now we are doing sciences, we have to excel. I told them, who knows that the Lord brought you in this place for this particular time so that in future you might be ministers of the gospel. As if I was joking, others took it so lightly, others went with it. And at this right time, recently I got an email before the end of the year. One of the ringleaders who was trying to rebel, I may use that word, to convince others that don't spend more time in Scripture Union, but concentrate on studies, no more time. Recently called me. He was pursuing sciences, and unfortunately, he was not given a place at a university. He tried other courses, science, but they didn't work out. So recently he wrote me and said that, Pastor, praise God because my church has given me a place to be a youth pastor. So right now I'm going to carry a certificate in theology so that I can be good at leading this ministry the Lord has given me. And many of them right now, others are pastors now, those of my age who were with them in the same school, they are now pastors, others are spiritual leaders in different churches, leading departments, but those are already in the ministry, doing the work of God. There is an appointed time. The Lord speaks his word at a given place, at a given time. But time elapses. Something happens, but we have to be sure, are we listening to the Lord's voice? There are many voices. We should be so careful to recognize the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy. It might be something good the Lord is telling you to do. We are seeing Jeremiah was complaining to God. Others are saying that Jeremiah was wrestling with God. Lord, how long is this going to carry on? Are you going to let the Babylonians to come and invade us? Yes, we are wicked. In Israel, we are wicked because he was praying that God would intervene to bring righteousness once again in his nation, in Judah and in Israel. And he was told by God that Babylon is coming to invade because you are wicked. So he was pleading once again with God. Now, Lord, are you bringing the Babylonians to come and invade a nation more holy than them? Because Israel by then was seen as a righteous nation, though they had fallen short of the grace of God. But God told Habakkuk, he told him that write down the revelation. Write it down. God's response was presented in two parts. One directed the prophet himself, and the other was concerning the historical circumstances, which we can see also in Daniel 12:4. The Lord was telling Jeremiah, Habakkuk, that there is something going to happen. There is the appointed time coming. In Daniel 12:4, he told the prophet, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end will come." And God, we are seeing God telling Habakkuk the same, that write this down, put it down. That is the first thing we are seeing God telling Habakkuk. Do you have something God is telling you to do? Maybe, as we know, sometimes you feel so heavy in your heart, in your life. Many things are happening. And you've prayed God to intervene. We are seeing many evil around our nation today. And we want righteousness to prevail. We want godliness to prevail. But as if God is not answering. But inside you, there is something God is telling you. Maybe to pray for those who are involved in any evil. Maybe to encourage others. Maybe to pray for the leaders of the church. Maybe those who are working the church, maybe a brother or a sister, the Lord has got something, is telling you as his child. We are the children of the kingdom. God is telling us today. If you have that, he's saying, write it down. The first assurance that God gave the prophet, he was, write it down. Sometimes I wake from my sleep. God gives me dreams. And some of those dreams, you might say, does really God speak to you? Yes, God speaks to me. Because one of those dreams is for me to come over here to study. It was a dream. And if you want to have a record, I can give you my script. Very odd, in an exercise book. It is there written. The Lord still speaks today. He told me, I will carry you on eagle's wings. There are many he has spoken, and there are many he has spoken to you. I'm not saying he speaks to me only, but he speaks to you also. But write them down. Because the revelation. Secondly, he says that, make it plain. The second item, if you can please. The second one is saying, make it plain. So that everyone who reads it will know the message. It should be so clear. His message was to become a witness for the future. We have the message today, and it speaks to us even in this generation. The word of God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will never change. We do change, but his word will never change. He is. I am. He was, he is, and he will be. His word remains the same. It comes in different places and space, but it has to come to pass. He sends his word, and it will never go back empty. It takes time to go back, but it will never return to him empty. It will accomplish whatever he has commanded it. Thirdly, we are seeing that Habakkuk was told to wait. Other translations say to hasten. In some versions, probably, is to say to witness. Much as Isaiah's message has been, Isaiah 8:16, this message establishes a wider time frame for the message than what Habakkuk himself had allowed his complaint. Habakkuk wanted it there and then. Lord, how long? I've mentioned everything. I've poured my heart. How long is this going to take place? But the Lord is saying, wait. Where early prophets had been willing to expand their understanding about what they prophesied. But here the Lord was telling them to wait. In the same case with Habakkuk, a large scope than that of Judah, and to look to the nations, it was a wider vision, a greater revelation than what he himself wanted. He called him to expand his vision, to look to a larger time frame, to look into the future. We are doing things today. What we do today will affect the next generation. If we don't plant today, we will not harvest in a few months to come. If we don't do something today, we should not expect anything in the future. Right now, my nation, Uganda, is on rise. The church is growing because in 85, right out from 79, as we are I remember that was around 85. My mom used to take me to overnight prayer. Every believer used to go for overnights to pray. While guns were going on, you might not believe this, but I've seen dead bodies in the streets. As you are praying at night, you hear gunshots. Early in the morning, as you are going back, you see dead bodies along the road. But while you are inside the church praying, shouting to God, as it may be termed, shouting, We could not hear exactly. We couldn't feel the happiness out there. But early in the morning, you see, some have lost their lives. But we are praying for God to intervene, to change our nation, to see that Christianity prevails in that country, to see that there is growth. People's lives to come back again as it used to be in those days before the dictators took power. But right now, in every town, on the new year, all the stadiums were full, packed with saints, worshiping God, praying for God to do something in the country. And they declared the city to be the city of God. The first lady told the cabinet, the parliament, that we should have 2 days to thank God for what he has done in the country, because it's now one of the fastest growing countries in the world. God is good. Things can change, but we need to write the vision down. There are those who wrote that vision down, and there are those who wrote it plainly, that we of this generation, the youth, are walking the ways of God, and we should wait to see God making this plain and to see it coming to pass. The vision calls for Habakkuk to view God's work and his purpose in the world, not only in the breadth of its length as well, and at the same time, that this is an assurance that God's purposes in the world will certainly unfold, so much that Habakkuk can write it down for future references. Habakkuk wanted God to act in some decisive way in the world, to bring injustice to surface, so that injustice can be seen. But God, at this point, was telling him, not yet, wait. Some scholars have understood this, the reference to the end of the world. We might view this as the end of the time. But it's not. It's not. The impact of this language in Habakkuk points to the future, the action of God in which his purposes will become clear and the issues of justice will be decided, without specifying exactly what the event might be. God immediately reassures us that the message is so true. Though it talks about the future, it's so true. It meant for us, but still is for the next generation to come. It will not lie. It will come. It will begin to be fulfilled right away. But it's God's truth. So we should believe it. God can say something today. It might happen in a few weeks. It might take years. It might happen right there. There and then. It might happen. But God is speaking. Write it down. Make it so plain. And be patient to see that it comes to pass. But how can we be patient? How can we be patient? We need to have faith. We need to have faith so that we can trust his word. Trust him. When he says something, trust him. 1 minister was told that we are going to preach the gospel around the world. And he trusted God for that. Years elapsed. And one day, he saw himself going to one of the big international conference here in London, He was from Africa. And as he was on the plane, the Lord spoke to him once again. The same voice came back. He told him, "Do you see that you are now flying to speak in this big international conference?" He said, "Yes." He said, "This is the beginning of you to go. You will be going around the world preaching the gospel." And the Lord told him that it's not because I told you, but it's because you trusted me. Because I've called many. I've told them the same. And we know that in Matthew and in Acts, when he said that, "Go in all the world and preach the gospel." He said, he told him that, not only because I told you, but because you trusted me. I've told many, but some have left the word behind. Some have gone, but because you trusted me. So it's to do with trust. And we can have that trust if we have faith in the Lord. We have faith in the Lord if we believe him. We take him by his word. It's hard. Still it's hard to understand that. But he's calling us to believe him. God has his appointed time for his appointed work. And he will be sure to do his work. And when the time comes, it will happen. It's not us to anticipate his appointments, but to wait for his time. The very appointment time might not come right there and then, but in a place where God has ordained it to take place, it will take place. It will happen. As we are on the journey, let us remember that God has got his appointed time. There is time for everything. We have this assurance in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Spirit testifies with our spirit concerning the future and concerning his work. Let us pray for God to enable us to write our revelations clearly and to give us the grace to be patient, to wait through the power of the Spirit he pours in our hearts, that we may have faith in him, to believe in him and to trust him. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, precious Father, we pray that you will give us the ability to stand, to be strong in you, to try to stand where you want us to stand through the power of the Spirit. Give us the boldness, give us the courage to walk that journey. Give us the new revelation to see Christ, who is hidden to many. Make him clear to us. We pray that you will bear the fruit, and the fruit will remain for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.